Morning, everybody. I hope you'll forgive me. My jacket's over there. Playing drums makes me hot. So if this is okay with you guys, I'm just going to wear this right now. And also, going down those stairs, you might watch me fall. I went to the gym yesterday because I don't want to get fat. And I have this little workout app on my phone, and I can set it to randomize some workouts with these kettlebells. And for whatever reason, randomized means all legs, and I didn't figure that out until I was about to fall over. So now I have trouble sitting down and standing up. So standing is all I can do right now. So somebody help me down like a nice, sweet little lady after we're done with all this, all right? But no, the pastor's still out in the Carolinas with his family, so he asked me to fill in today, and I always consider it a joy when I get to share in God's word with my family here at First Free Will. And I just pray today that God speaks through me, and so let's, as always, I like to open up with prayer, so let's go to prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the loving family that I get to come to every Sunday morning at this church. Lord, this church has been such a special thing to me. It has been a church that welcomed me in from day one, and Lord, I pray for everyone here. I want to encourage them. I want to love them as you have loved me. And Father, I just want to thank you for the blessings that we have every day with our family and our friends, but most of all, Jesus. Lord, at this time, I wish for you to silence me and let me become a vessel that carries your word to these people. Thank you for your goodness, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I just got a small section of scripture today that I want us to go over. It's going to be Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. And even though this is only seven verses, this past semester I wrote a paper on these seven verses because I did a class in the book of Acts. And let me tell you, spending 8 weeks in one book will do something to you, especially in a book like Acts. I've always loved the book of Acts. I've always been amazed at the bravery, the courageousness of the apostles and everything that they did, everything that they faced and went through. Beatings and persecution and being cast out of cities and just everything you see, yet you never see them stop rejoicing in God. You never see them get discouraged to a point they say, well, maybe this isn't worth it. Because I'm here to tell you that the way that all the apostles died, that's enough right there to tell you that they believed it was worth it, that they continued into the point of death for their Father, God. And so I want us to talk about this because this particular section, to me, is kind of the first forming of the church. And as I said this morning, the way that I love this church, what this church has done for me and what it means to me, changed my life greatly because I grew up in church. I grew up at Sherwood for a while. I was at Bine for a long time. And then I kind of hopped around in Gillianville and other churches with different friends, different youth groups and things like that as I grew up. And they're all great churches, don't get me wrong, but the way that this church welcomed me felt like the first time I went into a community of believers. And I'm not saying anything about the people at the other churches, but there was something special here. But at the same time, I think I'm going to have to say something that sometimes I wonder if we're all thinking this on Sunday morning. When you look around this church and you see the emptiness of some of these pews, I'd be willing to bet we could fit everybody in here in almost just one section. Have you ever thought about that? The way this church loves me is the way I want the church to love everybody out there. But I feel that we've lost a little bit of sight of what the church is supposed to be doing. Now, don't get me wrong. You guys love me and encourage me. I can't even put something on Facebook without getting something nice from somebody at this church. And I love that. But that's what I'm afraid of is that these four walls are shielding the light of this church from the outside in this community. And that's got to change. We got to get out there because everybody in here talks about this church. Not just because they have a membership here. Not just because they've been here for a long, long time. But because they talk about the way that they have friends that love them, the way that people treat them and encourage them. It's something that you don't find at every church. And as somebody who's been to a lot of churches, I can tell you that's true. You'll find kind people. But this congregation is one where everybody knows somebody and loves somebody, like we ought to be loving those out there. So I want us to kind of read through these verses and kind of break some things down. So we're just going to take it step by step and try to figure out what does it mean for us today, because the church does not look anything like it did back then as it does today. So let's start here with chapter 2, verse 42 says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." Now, let me give you the backstory just in case you're not familiar here. Peter had just preached a mighty, mighty sermon. And in that, 3,000 Jewish people came to realize that Jesus is the Messiah they've been promised through the Old Testament. Jesus is the one that has been coming for all of them to fulfill the promises of God. 3,000 people turned to God that day. How long has it been since we've seen that in any kind of current time? That such a mass group of people converted to Jesus, said, "Jesus is my Savior." Now, we may not see that today. Churches, especially where we live, we're out here in like the Bible Belt, and we got churches on every city block in Albany. But back then, it was a new thing. And all these people were just put in awe of what Peter had to say. But I think this is one of the first things we have to pick up on. A good message will bring somebody to understand and believe in Jesus. But a good message does not contain and develop and grow a person like a community does. There's a purpose in God and Jesus founding the church the way that he wanted it, the way that he said, this is going to be it. And you see, after these people became believers in Jesus, they formed a community. And as it says here, that they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles and to fellowship. Now, this is a fellowshipping church. The time that we spend with each other doing things, whether outside the church or inside the church, is a beautiful thing. But how many are we inviting to that fellowship? How many are we bringing in to that fellowship? And it says that they shared in the meals together. Well, we're Baptists. We know we share in meals together. That's almost like in the Ten Commandments for us. But it also says that they shared in their prayer. I think that's another important part. And we were discussing this in Sunday school with the youth group today, with prayer. How often are we reaching out to others with our prayer? And I'm not talking about just you and God, because that is some of the most important time you can spend is in prayer with you and God. Just you, God, quiet, and just being in that worship, that fellowship with God, communing with God. But let me ask you this. Maybe you've had this thought before, as I did in the past, before I really learned what my courage and my identity is in Christ. I would often assume if I knew somebody wasn't a believer, I knew that they didn't go to church, I knew they had nothing to do with God, I'd almost get this thought of just like, well, I would offer to pray with them, but I know they don't believe in that. I would offer to sit down and say, hey, can I pray for you? But they're just going to reject me. But you're shutting off God reaching out to those people right off the bat if you assume it's a no. Because let me tell you something, when you get out there, when you get out into the world and you're looking around, maybe you see somebody eating by themselves, maybe it's a friend or somebody at work or school or wherever you are that you see somebody and they're going through something. Because, I mean, I'm sure that you guys, just as well as I can, you see people and you can see it in their face when something's bothering somebody. When somebody has something on their heart, a heavy weight being carried by them, and you want to do something, but are you letting yourself just get shut off and shut out because maybe you're afraid of what they're going to say? Because what happens if I go up and I say, can I pray for you? No. Oh, goodness. Oh, that one hurt, you know? Is that what we're afraid of? That we're just going to get boom because we were told no. I'd rather get that no knowing that I offered to pray for them than just having to wonder, God, did I chicken out? God, did I let you down in that moment? I don't want to carry the weight of that. I want to carry God's will. not the weight of my own fears and my own regrets of letting somebody else down. I want to carry God's will. So I want to share in my prayer with people. I want to fellowship. I want to share in the meals. I want to commune. I want to devote myself to the teaching. Absolutely. But that prayer that we're reading about, that they shared about, are we sharing that with others? Because you don't know what kind of difference you're going to make in someone's life. Even for those that don't believe, even for those that have never spent a day in church, but they're hurting, they're lost, and they're scared. And for the first time, who knows, maybe it's been weeks that they've been carrying this. You sit down and just talk to them. Hey, I see you're upset. I see you're needing something. Can I talk to you? Because it's nice to just go up and say, hey, can I pray for you? But that's just you assuming what's wrong or anything like that. Talk to them. Connect with that person first. What's wrong? And if they open up with you, that's your chance. That's God opening that door saying, this is the time. Stephen, this is what I have called you for. Not what you've done in your life with your family, or you know what you've done in accomplishments with school or sports or whatever it may be. What I've called you to do is reach my people. And so in that moment when I say, can I pray for you? And you might think, here comes the no. But you never know when that window is going to open up and say, I would really like that. And you pray for that person and something happens in their life. Suddenly a light comes on, a door opens up. And their life changes. And in that moment, they're thinking, finally, something to look forward to. And in that moment, they may just say, you know, Stephen, whoever, any of you guys, a person prayed for me. And at that time, I felt something. And something changed. Maybe there is something to God. Maybe there is truth in Jesus. And the next time they see you and they have this question on their mind, and they say, where do you go to church? Don't just say, oh, I go to First Free Will. That's your next opportunity to say, I go to First Free Will, and I would love for you to come with me. Just assume that they're going to want to come with you. I'm telling you that because when you do that, you're more likely to say, I go to First Free Will Baptist, and I want you to come with me. I got plenty of room sitting right next to me. I'll wait for you at the front door. And now they feel welcomed. You've prayed with this person. You have made them feel welcomed and a part of the family before they even got here. And then when they get here, what's the next thing you should be doing? Look for the people you know. Hey, this is my brother such and such. He came to church with me today. And then knowing this community, what are you going to do? Well, welcome to First Free Will. My name is. And now they're making friends. Now they're starting to say, this is a place I feel welcomed at. This is a place I want to be, and I want to come and join up with this church. Because I'm telling you, this church, I believe that if we start filling these pews, and we start upping our outreach, and we start doing these things, it won't be long before we're saying, well, somebody grab some folding chairs, and let's line where we can. Let's get some more people in here. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And we see it just in that verse, in the way that they devoted themselves to the teaching, fellowship, sharing of meals, and prayer. Let's move to the next one. Verse 43 says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Now, I pointed this out in Sunday school today because I think that a lot of people read that and go, well, they must have been awe of these miracles that the apostles we're performing. But there's something important there. There is a comma and the word and. First, we read that the people had a deep sense of awe that came over them all. And the apostles performed great miracles. I believe that, yeah, if you see those miracles, you're going to have a great sense of awe. But do you know what I think that means, the way that that sentence is structured? They were in awe of the community. They were in awe of the love that they received. They were in awe of the way that people welcomed and treated them every day. Because as we're going to read, it talks about how they went to each other's houses, shared in their meals and all that kind of stuff. They didn't have a church to go to. Because these were all Jews, and they continued to go to the synagogue. They didn't, don't get confused that they accepted Christianity and just rejected Judaism. They understood that everything they learned in the Old Testament from Judaism was brought to fruition in Jesus. But there was a great friction that came between the people, the Christians, and the traditional Jews. And eventually, they all got excommunicated from the synagogue. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Well, we don't need that building. You can meet at my house. Come on, come on. Tuesday night, I'm cooking. We'll get in the Word. We'll invite the Apostle Peter over. He'll preach to us again. We'll share. We'll love. We'll pray. Boy, the thought of that is, there's something warming to my heart when I think about that. And it makes me think, you know what? Hopefully one day, if I ever have the money to buy a house, I hope to have my house. And I hope to come out here, and I just want to give everybody an invite. Come on out. We'll stand in the yard if we have to, but I'll cook meals. I'll spend time. We'll get in the Word. We'll pray, and we'll just enjoy a good time of worship with God and share with each other. That's what I want to do. I want it to start looking like that, because we get confused that church just happens in this building when church is supposed to happen 24/7 every day of your life. You are a community. You and Jesus are supposed to be going out into that world and inviting people, loving people, spending time with them, giving them that attention that they need. Moving on to the next one, verse 44 says, "And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had." Met in one place and shared everything that they had. Continuing, it says, "They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need." Now, I don't want to run a rabbit, but I do want to point something out that seems to be gripping a lot of the younger people in this nation. This idea of communism. That's not what's being preached here. I have unfortunately seen followers try to twist this and to push that, but there's no verse where Jesus says, steal from other people and give it to everybody else. What this was voluntary willingness to take what they had, sell it, and help others. That's what this is. It's not forced on anyone. It's not even required, because a lot of people don't even do that today. But I think that that's what Jesus wants us to do, a willingness to say, I can part with this because my brother or my sister is in need of something. I hope you understand that. Have you ever noticed there seems to be a trend when people start to get extremely wealthy, when they start to really get all the things that they need, they almost kind of take themselves away from community. They feel that they are self-sufficient. Well, I can get whatever I need. I can enjoy my money. I like to drive my nice car. I like to watch my 80-inch TV. I like to do whatever it is that I like to do. And they seem to kind of grow apart from people. Whereas what do you see with a lot of the people that might not be as well off as them? It's been my experience that those that don't have as much as the rich people, they love to go out and say, well, can I help you? Can I give you my time? They're even willing to say, you know what? I live check to check, but here I want to help you out. I can't tell you how many times I've had people in this church hear about a need that I might have, and they've come up and given me something to help me. That blows me away. Because some of them I know aren't just well off, but yet they still said, I want to help you. Are we willing to share that with the people we don't even know their name? Are you willing to do that for those that aren't in this church today? Or are we only extending that love as far as the people sitting in here right now? Verse 46 says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes while for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That last verse is key. Each day the Lord added to their numbers those that were being saved. What drew those people in? What was making those people get saved? Step one, hearing the truth of God. Absolutely. But let me tell you something. If these people maybe decided to just visit this church one day on a whim, and they heard good preaching, they said, well, I really like the message I heard. I'm going to go back next time. But every time they come in here, they don't feel welcome. Nobody's extending a hand. Nobody's saying, hey, come sit with me. Hey, what's your name? Are they really going to set an anchor in this church? I don't think so. Because people want to be a part of a family. People want to be a part of a community, a group of people that love, that care, that are interested in them. Because if you have a best friend, but you never took the time to call, text message, spend time, you didn't get them nothing for their birthday, you didn't even show up to the party, are you going to call that person your best friend? Are you going to continue to say, that's my best friend right there? Hadn't spoken to me in 30 days, but that's my best friend right there. No. So what kind of people want to go to a church and say, that's my church? I don't know anybody in it, but that's my church. It doesn't make sense, does it? Every person that walks through that door needs to be welcomed by you or me. And since we all can't be everywhere at once, that's why it's all of our job. But understand that it says that the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. This particular group continued to see people coming in to their church, to joining their community. People continue to see that. And if we take it literally where it says God was sending them to them, why send them there? Because that group, that community, those people were constantly loving and providing and sharing of meals and inviting to their homes and loving people the way Jesus did. Because in fact, if you really take that and then go back to a gospel and analyze what Jesus was doing, what was he doing? He was going into people's homes. He was preaching the good word. He was breaking bread with his brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus loved to do. That's the main majority of Jesus' mission and what he did through those years was sit with the people, tell them the truth, love them, break bread with them, go to their homes. If Jesus had a home, I'm sure people would have been invited there all the time. But Jesus knew he was on the move to spread the gospel. He was out there to tell them, I am the way. And you see, here's where I think we have to find this connection, because sometimes I think that this might be the misconnect that we're having. The community lacks because we're lacking our communion with God. Because sometimes I think that we have gotten so comfortable in what we're doing, so comfortable in the ways that we run church, that we're never going to God and becoming real with him. That we're never taking the time to say, God, these are my problems today. God, this is what's wrong with me. Jesus, I'm broken. I'm with sin. I messed up again. You know, whatever it may be that you're going to prayer for. But are you going to prayer and experiencing God daily? Or has prayer become another religious act? Has prayer become another thing? Have you found yourself getting to a place where prayer is something that you can recite as the same thing over and over and over again, because we've gotten content with a cover the bases kind of prayer? You start at home, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for my blessings and my family. I pray good things. And you run to first, Lord, I've sinned. Please help me with my sins and just forgive me of what I've done. You don't name them. You don't think about them. You don't consider them. But you just say, well, I know there were sins today, so cover that sin. You run off to second, Lord, bless my family. Make sure we always have what we need. Take care of us. Guide us. All that good stuff, Lord. Just do that. We run off to third. And Father, just thank you for the goodness. Thank you. It's almost like, well, weren't you saying that back at home? But we're just kind of rounding up the trip now. Oh, thank you for your Father. Thank you for goodness. We'll go home. Amen. Did that prayer sound exciting to you? Did that prayer have any significance to it? Or was it just based off the things we grew up hearing? Well, Jesus pays for your sin. He forgives you. Jesus is your provider. He loves you. Jesus does all these things for you. And okay. Because some of us, we don't actually ever get in here and study that word. We open it when we're told to. We read along with the pastor, and then we set it back on the shelf when we get home. Real prayer and real study of that Bible is going to transform your life and transform where you start to say, you know what, I can't sit still in this pew. I can't sit here and be quiet. Church can't just be on Sunday. Church is every day I go to work. Church is every day I walk in the grocery store. And that person's scanning your items. Hey, how are you doing? What's your name? Would you come to church with me? I just want to invite you to church. You belong with us. Whatever it may be, whatever your strategy is. But think about that prayer I just said, covering the bases. Is that what you want your prayer to sound like? Is that what your prayer sounds like? Or has your prayer become, God, let me tell you what I've done today. Jesus, I had impure thoughts. God, I was foolish with my money. God, I mistreated somebody. God, I ignored somebody that needed help when I could have helped them. You start to name your sins. And yeah, you might think, well, boy, I'm going to feel bad on this one because I got a laundry list to bring. But I have learned that when I get real with my sins in God, when I say, Lord, this is what I've done and I'm sorry. I'm just a broken human. And though I feel like I'm unlovable right now, for some reason there's a warmth in my heart where I can feel you reaching out and embracing me, forgiving me, and loving me. And Father, I want to pray for my family. And not just say, I pray for my family, bless them and take care of them. God, be with my mother. Help her in this time. Help her with the things she needs. Father, be with my sisters. Be with my friends. And I start using the names. I start praying specifically for what they need, for what is good for them, what will help them. And then we can say, all right, we're round on third. And that's where a lot of us as people, we get, I don't know what to say, God, so just thank you for everything. Thank you for what you do. How about some time for worship? Have you ever included worship in your prayer? Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for what you mean to me. Thank you, God, for your blessings, God, because I am a sinful, broken, worthless, tattered up garment that should be worn by no one, should be accepted by no one, that should just be tossed to the side. Yet, God, you took me, you sewed me back up, you cleaned me up, you washed me, and made me new and said that I'm willing, I'm worthy to be in your kingdom. Guys, if we're going to grow a community, if we're going to start filling up this space and make a difference in this church, it's going to start with us on our knees and God. It's going to start with us making sure that we're still connected with the Father, that we're still walking in the path of Jesus. Because if we're not doing that, what love are we excited about and why do we have any motivation to get out there and help anybody? Unless every day I wake up and the first thought I have is, I want to pray. My first thought is, I got to get up and I got to pray. I got to talk to my Father. I want to thank Him. And I want to ask Him, Father, first thing I need today is your guidance. First thing I need today is I want to pray, I want to talk with you, I want to spend time with you. Then I want to open my Bible and I want to see what you got to teach me, because if I wait till the end of the day, I'm probably going to miss it. But if I read it first thing in the day and I learn something, I say, today, that's what that's about. That's what today is about. I'm going to go out there and apply it. I'm going to live it. So I'm telling you, if we're going to go from a church that we can take our whole group and fill one row of pews to a church that we have to start looking for a new plot of land because we're not fitting anymore, it's not all just about what we're going to do with outreach. I mean, yes, that's a big part of it. A pastor isn't going to fix it. A youth pastor isn't going to fix it. We keep looking to one person trying to fix it. Well, we need, a better music manager. Yeah, we need all of these things. You got to have a staff. You got to have good people in charge and running the program. But none of that's going to fix the community. The community has to fix itself. And the only way to do that is the community has to become one with God. Each and every one of us must take the time to grow in our own relationship with Christ. Otherwise, we're just sitting in here because we were raised that way. Are you sitting in church today because that's how you grew up? Are you sitting here today just because, well, my parents go to that church, and if they know I'm not there, they know I'm not at church, and I don't want to get in trouble? Is that our reason for being here? I hope not. And I can tell you that from the way you guys love me, I don't believe that that's true. But let me ask you something. When was the last time you were encouraged and excited about your relationship with God? Because you don't want it to become like one of those marriages where all the romance and love and all that kind of stuff is just kind of dissipated. It almost feels like roommates when you're both wearing some cool rings. That's sad. Because the Bible tells us Jesus is looking for a bride. That's us. That's us, and we're supposed to be excited. We're supposed to be ready for the Father. We're supposed to be ready for the kingdom. But are we just going to sit here on earth and say, well, I'm just going to wait it out? Are we going to get up in love? We're going to make a change. We're going to make a difference. We're going to go out there and reach people. That's what we got to be doing. And when you think about Paul, Paul said, to all people, I am all things. To all people, I am all things. That's another thing is, I hope we don't get lost in what we are used to in this church. Getting lost in what we're used to makes us blind to the new thing God's doing. The way things are changing. And I'm not talking about like, well, our church has to, we got to get rid of all these lights. It's too bright in here. We need to be one of those churches where it's dark and just the stage is lit, you know, and the only kind of music we play is blowing everybody's ears out. I'm not talking like we got to be one of those churches. The church can look like this. The church can look like that. The church can look like a woodshed for all I care. If people are being reached and loved, that's what matters. That's what makes a difference. Because these people started in their homes. And eventually it's gotten to where we have today. But don't get caught up thinking that everybody has to fit a list that you've created in your mind, invited to church. If you have a list in your mind that you have to check off everything before that person gets invited, you're misguided. Because the people out there don't know what we do in here. Don't know what this church is like. And that's a problem. Get out there and make a difference. Get out there and make change. Again, it says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. If we're not getting people to come to this church, if we're not getting people in these pews, I have to wonder if it's like that Bible that said that God added to them. Does God look at this church and say, oh, I can add people there because they'll grow? Or have we gotten stagnant? You know, I think it was the Sunday before Thanksgiving that, I can't remember his name, but he came and he preached and he kind of kicked our rear end about the fact that a gas station on this same road doesn't know about us. They never heard of us. Are we excited about this church? Do we love this church? Everyone in here is going to sit there and go, mm-hmm. Who are you telling about it? Who are you sharing it with? In the last week, have you told anybody about First Free Will that doesn't go here? If you're thinking right now, no, I haven't. Well, I'm not pointing fingers. I know there's times that I miss opportunities. We all do. But that's the thing, is we've got to move to a place where we start doing that. Otherwise, I fear, I don't want to see this church close. I don't want to see this church go under. Not all that I've experienced and felt and have been encouraged and loved, and the people that I've met through this church, I hope this church becomes the greatest church that the state of Georgia, the country, anybody's ever heard of. Because when they look at this church, they go, that's God's church. Number one, that is God's church. So I pray that all of us start on our knees, repent, connect with God, and get out and share that love with the people. Get out there and tell them about this church. And don't just go, oh, it's a great church. Get real with these people. Tell them why you go to this church. Tell them why you're here. instead of Sherwood. Tell them why you're here instead of Church of the Groves. Tell them why you're here instead of any other church. Why are you here? Have you even thought about it? Why are you here? Is it because it's just your family's church? Or is it because this is a church where you commune with God daily? Tell people why you come here. When people ask me, where do you go to church? It's on First Free Will. And I'll be honest, a lot of people go, isn't that a church of a bunch of old people? I say, well, yeah. They're the rock of the church. They're the backbone. They built this church up. The church is here because of them. But let me tell you why I go. It's also because of them. Because they encouraged me. They love me. I remember the first Sunday I walked through those doors. Church was already going on. I was like, ooh, I must be a little late. And I sat down and closing prayer started. Because I'd always gone to church where service started at 11. And I was like, whoop. And the first thing that happened after that prayer, Buddy Purvis stood up and walked over to me and shook my hand and said, hey, I'm Buddy Purvis. You probably didn't know, but our church starts at 10. But definitely come back next week at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget Buddy coming up and shaking my hand and smiling at me like that. And I came back the next day. And I had a wonderful time. And through those years, I've met so many of you that give me every reason to smile and be proud of my church. But we all got to start doing what Buddy did with me that day. Look for people to come through that door. And if nobody's coming through that door, then what? Go get them. And bring them. Love them. Share with them. When they come to church, when especially new people, they may say no, but say, hey, you want to go to lunch with me? Some people say, well, I just want to sit with my family. You got plenty of time to sit with your family. Invite those people to your family in Christ. Let's make a difference, church. I want to see this church grow. I want to see differences made in lives. I want to see new faces here, excited for God. But let's start with us first. Let's make sure we are right with God, that we are real with God, that we are sharing with God in all that we do. Church, today I hope that what I said has brought thought to you, brought consideration. It's brought the idea that this church, we got to change. Not talking about the looks and all that stuff, just talk about our hearts. We got to get out there and we got to reach people. We got to love people. I encourage every one of you this week, read through the book of Acts multiple times and look what the early church was doing. And here we are in AC, comfort, no persecution. We've been given all the opportunity in the world to succeed out there and sharing with others. Whereas they and the apostles, they had to worry about going to jail for saying these things. They had to worry about getting beaten for these things. Where do I have that? Why aren't we out there sharing? They fought for that. Just as many soldiers have fought for our freedom to be able to have this church. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't throw it away. So today, if God has spoken to you and you feel a change in your heart, you want to make a difference in this church, as always, you can sit there and pray. You can come to this altar and pray. But I want to see this church come together like it's never been together before. And I want to see us becoming a lighthouse to those out in the darkness, knowing that you can come here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for my church. Father, I don't even have the words to describe this church. The encouragement, the love, the giving, the time that people take to help one another. Lord, it is every week I have somebody come to me and say, what can I do to help the youth? What can I do to help out? Lord, I see people in this church, even with just the little things, opening the door for people, helping some downstairs, giving their time, asking how they're doing, loving each other. But Father, I pray that we don't stop there. Father, I pray that what we are going to do is say, I've got to share this love with everybody else. There are people out there that don't know you, and they need to know you. You are the truth, the way, you are the light. Father, I ask now that you transform my heart, that I learn to love even more, that I learn to love the way the people of this church have loved me, but most of all, I learn to love the way Jesus has loved me. So, Father, I just thank you for these things. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for your love. And I pray that we become a light to all, to know where truth, rest, love can all be found in this church that is your church, Father. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to come down to the altar and pray, all are welcomed.